So we're going to read the story, a familiar story, about Simeon and Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus to Jerusalem to fulfill the requirements of the law. Chapter 2 of Luke, starting at the 22nd verse. When the time of the purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons, the sacrifice for those who are too poor to afford a lamb. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple court. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that was spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword shall pierce your own soul as well." The reading of the Gospel. I'm going to try this and see if it works. I think I'll throw things around for a while too. I'd like to talk to you this morning about waiting. I don't think I really have to tell you how hard it is to wait. Some children have been waiting for a big snowstorm like their parents always tell them. It used to be when they were kids, a snowstorm big enough that you've got so much snow that you can go sled riding a dozen times, and there's still plenty of snow for you to go down the hill on. Of course, it's hard to find a hill anymore with all the houses going in. Waiting, that's something that children do as they wait for Christmas, and how hard it is to do. It's something parents do for Christmas when they buy all the gifts, and then they say to themselves, "I hope they like what we got them, and I can't wait to see their faces when they open this or open that." Waiting, that's what some of us do this time of year, because we know, being the Christmas season, that people are making cookies and candy. And if you go visit the right people at the right time, you're liable to get some. If you're really lucky, they'll be making the cookies when you go, and you can have some of the batter too. That doesn't happen too often. Waiting is something we all have to do. When we're kids, we can't wait until we grow up. When we're grown-ups, we wonder what it was we waited for. The people of Israel know what it is to wait. They've waited for centuries. In fact, the history of Israel begins with waiting. You know the story. The patriarch Abraham was called by God to leave his home and his family and to travel to a distant land that he didn't know anything about. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know when he was supposed to stop. He didn't know what he was going for. He only knew that God had told him to go. And while he was traveling, God gave him a message of hope. He said to Abraham, your family will be a pivotal family in the history of the world. Nations will come from you. A land will be given to you. And from your descendants will come the one that the whole world has been waiting for. The one who will save us from our sins. Well, Abraham was 75 years old when that promise was given. And things weren't that much different back then than they are now. 75 was kind of old to be a father. By the time he was 99, the child had still not come. He was still waiting. But when he was 99, then God came to him and he said, you will have a son. Your wife, Sarah, will bear a son. And in that son, all the promises and hopes, not only of you, but of the whole world, will rest. And you shall call your son's name Laughter, because of the delight it will bring to those who are waiting for the deliverance that I will send. So finally, after waiting 25 years, the child was born. And then Abraham waited some more. When the child was around 12 or 13, God said he wanted him back, and that Abraham was to sacrifice this son. Abraham wasn't too happy about it, but since the child had come from God, if God wanted him back, then God would get him back. Fortunately, you know the story, God decided at the last moment that Abraham had demonstrated his faith, and the sacrifice of the child was not necessary. But waiting has always been a part of the tradition of my people. My name is Simeon, and I am the man that Mary and Joseph brought the baby to. Well, they didn't really bring him to me. They brought him to the temple, but I happened to be there. And God had promised when I was younger that I would not die until I saw the deliverance of my people, because I too had been waiting. But I'm getting ahead of my story. I told you about Abraham and how he had how he had to wait. Moses had to wait too. Remember the story of Moses? Abraham only waited 25 years. Moses had to wait 40 years. And then he had to wait 40 more. See, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided the time had come for him to bring deliverance to his people. So he went to be with his people, and he found them not really interested in being free. In fact, they were just as ready to turn him into the authorities as they were to allow him to lead them to freedom. And so he had to leave Egypt as a fugitive and lived in the desert for 40 years. Such a long time, so much waiting, that when God finally came to Moses and said, now is the time, Moses said, maybe not. Maybe you better find somebody else. After all, by this time, Moses was 80 years old. But maybe God has a thing for old people, you know? Abraham has a child at 100. Moses at the age of 80, when most people have already died in those days, Moses is given a new job. Job of savior, job of deliverer, job of liberator. So Moses went back to his people, and they still weren't real receptive to him. They wanted to be free, but they weren't sure that Moses was the one to do it. But he led the people out of bondage. That took some waiting, since Pharaoh's heart was so hard and Pharaoh was so stubborn. It took 10 plagues from God before the people were really freed, and then the Pharaoh came after them anyway. Moses brought the people to the Mount Sinai. There they received the law, and after staying there for a while, then they moved on. Finally, they were ready to inherit the promise. They were ready to enter the promised land. But the people decided they weren't quite ready. And because they were slow to accept that God was with them, Moses had to wait another 38 and a half years. And even then, he himself was not allowed to enter the land. He could only see it from afar. Waiting has always been a part of the tradition of my people. Abraham waited 25 years. Moses waited 40 years, and then another 40 years. David had to wait as well. He was anointed king at the young age of 17. Problem was, there was already another king at the time. And it would be 13 years before David would step onto the throne that he had been promised when he was younger. Then, many years later, a prophet arose in our nation called Jeremiah. He spoke of the destruction of our nation. But he said the destruction would only be temporary. That after 70 years of exile, the people would come back to the land, rebuild what was lost. There was another prophet who was taken in that exile. His name was Daniel. He waited those 70 years. And finally, when the 70 years were over, he came to God in prayer. And he said, "Well, have I waited in vain?" And God laid out before him his plan, not only for the 70 years of exile, but for the remaining 490 years with which he would deal with the people of Israel. And when the end of that time came, the Messiah would establish his kingdom on earth. And that's where I come in. In the meantime, those 500 years between the return and the coming of the Messiah, we waited. We waited for God to be as good as his word. Our country went through a series of political movements. First, we were ruled by the Persians, then we were ruled by the Greeks. Then we were ruled again by the Egyptians. And then finally, our rulers were so heartless and so blasphemous against God that we revolted. And we ruled ourselves for a time. And many of us thought, finally, we will set up a kingdom. And when the kingdom is established, the Messiah will come. But we proved unworthy of the kingdom. And it wasn't too long before we were defeated by the Romans and all hopes of an independent nation were dashed. And yet God had made us a promise. And the 490 years that Daniel talked about were drawing to a close. And we wondered, would God remember his promise? And I received a message from God saying, "I will surely remember my promise, and you will see the fulfillment of that promise. You will see it before you die." I was a young man when the promise was given to me, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited. Until finally I was so old I didn't think I could wait any longer. And then one day, as I was walking through the temple grounds, along came a young couple with a baby. And God spoke to my spirit and he said, that child is the one. He reminded me of what Isaiah had said. To you a child is given. To you a son is born. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And I knew that this child was the one. The one I had waited for so many years. The one our nation had waited for so many generations. He had come. And yet after my encounter with Jesus, I realized the Messiah has come, but he's only a baby. By the time he reaches maturity, I'll be gone. But then I realized that God is a God who keeps his promise, even when it looks as though all is forsaken. And though I die, in the words of Job, my own eyes will yet see the salvation that has been promised. I learned an important lesson when I saw the baby Jesus. I learned that waiting is something that we all have to get used to. My waiting was over. I had seen all the proof I needed. But the world would wait another 30 years before Jesus would begin preaching. And after mistreating him, the world would wait another 2,000 years to see if maybe this time God would forget his promise. But once again, the signs are around us. The signs that tell us that God does not forget, though we may forget. God does not forget his promise. He won't allow anything, not time, not death, not difficult circumstances. He will not let anything interfere with the fulfillment of his word. And so I learned the lesson my people have been learning since the time of Abraham. When you decide to draw near to God, you must learn how to wait. You wait until he fulfills his word in your life. And then you wait some more. Because his word is not going to be totally fulfilled until his son returns. Waiting is not easy. And it hasn't gotten easy in the 2,000 years that have come and gone since Jesus first crossed my path at the temple. But it's something we must learn to do. We wait for signs of God's blessing. We wait to see indications that will show us that God has not forgotten us, that all is not forsaken, that his promises are new every morning, and that his faithfulness is great. The psalmist says, how long, O Lord? How long will the wicked triumph? How long will the righteous suffer? How long must I wait? We hear testimonies of people who have come to know Jesus Christ in a powerful way. And in an instant, their lives were changed. They became a new person. Bitterness was gone. Joy flooded in. And from that moment on, it seems as though they never knew a temptation, they never knew a problem, that their joy could not surmount. And yet we who have known Jesus for so long seem sometimes to struggle with temptation as though we were not even a believer. We seem to struggle with disappointment and frustration. And we wonder, are we really Christian? If we were, wouldn't we know the joy of the Lord moment by moment? And yet there are times when even we as Christians must simply learn to wait. We hold on, or mostly we trust that God is holding on to us. We remind ourselves of His promises, and we wait. We wait until we can't wait any longer. And then we wait some more. Because it always seems that just when hope is about to run out, God sends a sign. Maybe it's a star in the sky. Maybe it's a child who's been born. Maybe it's the voice of the prophet speaking to us through centuries of darkness. God sends a message to us, a message that encourages us that He has not forgotten, that the time is nearing its fulfillment, that soon all will be made plain, and in the meantime we are safe in His care. What a blessing it is to know that when we can't wait any longer, God waits for us. He carries us through the difficult times and promises that there is coming a time of fulfillment when all the things that we have longed for will be revealed in a way beyond our wildest expectation. And all the sorrows and all the struggles of waiting and waiting and waiting will be forgotten, will not even be a memory. The time is coming when the waiting will be over, and there will be nothing but joy. In the meantime, we wait, and we give thanks to God for the signs He gives us, the signs that encourage us that it is not foolish to wait, that the promises are worth waiting for, and the life to come, so much beyond our expectation, that it's not even worth comparing to the struggle of waiting. Heavenly Father, when I first saw the baby Jesus, I was so overwhelmed with the understanding that You had finally acted, that Your promises were going to be fulfilled. Knowing that Jesus was born, I could then die in peace, because I knew that though I would not see the fulfillment of the promises, nevertheless the promises would be fulfilled, and that I would pass through death to a new awakening in which I too would experience the wonder and joy of life under the Messiah's rule. I pray that You would give to each of us the vision to see this life that awaits us, that we might not be distracted by the emptiness that this world offers, that we might keep alive in our hearts the hope that You have given to us, that we might be willing to wait and to wait and to wait until we can't wait any longer, and then to wait some more. For the time is coming. The fulfillment of all Your promises is at hand, if only we can wait.
Amen.
Would the ushers please come?